Okay, open with me to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is also known as the Song of Songs, also the Song of Love. But the Song of Songs, how many songs are there in the world? I don't know. I can't tell you. All right, Apple Music has a lot of songs, Amazon Music, Spotify. Somebody's record collection has a lot of music. My uncle has a record collection in Long Island that is amazing. Huge collection. Actually, it was wiped out by Superstorm Sandy, but now he's rebuilding it. And his whole dining room was records. And now my aunt, I think my aunt prayed Superstorm Sandy in so it would wipe out his record collection. But now he's bringing it back, right? And you can go through the songs, right? The song, there's so many songs we can hear. And really, if you look at it, a lot of songs are about one thing. Love. Right? Love gained, love lost, love wanted, love unwanted. Whatever way you want to spin it. Love from my pickup, love from my dog, love from my wife, love from my girl. It's all there. Love. But this is the Song of Songs. It is against all of the songs, this is the one song. And this is the Song of Love. And it, as we read it, it's interesting. It's curious. It's a romance. It's a song of love and an expression of love from a bride, from a groom, a bridegroom to the bride. And he is pursuing her and he is flattering her and he is building her up and he is loving her. Remember he says, your hair is like a herd of goats coming down Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep that haven't had a haircut yet. Try that one. I tried on Jess. She's same reaction, just kind of like, what are you talking about? But it's a beautiful song. And when we read it, we could find a mystery in it. We say, what is going on? I think I know what's going on, but what really is going on? But when we read it, we apply it to ourselves that God is the bridegroom in this book and we are the bride and he is pursuing us. And he is coming for us, and he is speaking to us, and he is drawing us up and drawing us out of ourselves. So we're going to talk about prayer tonight, like we have been. And I said in class a couple weeks ago that there are three parts of our life, that there are three aspects of our life. The first one is the closet, the second one is the table, and the third one is the towel. That as believers, we have these places in our life, and we can talk about them. You know, the closet is the place where I find my fellowship with God, where it is just me, I am alone with God. The table is the place where we have fellowship, we come together around the table, and we speak about what God has given us. And then the towel is how we go out and we serve people. We wash feet, and we serve. But here tonight I want to talk about this idea of the closet. We actually spoke a lot about it last week where we, in prayer, we find our identity. Remember we spoke about horizontal relationships and then also the vertical relationship, right? That we have all kinds of horizontal relationships where we are meeting with people and connecting to this world. But also, I don't want those relationships to be the one that identify me. I want to gain my identity from my vertical relationship, like Tommy was just saying. Wasn't that a good word? Yeah. It was firing. It was like someone just pulled the cord on an engine and just let it loose. I find my identity in this place with God. We said Psalm 91 verse 1, that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High and we abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And that here I find my identity, who I really am and what God says about me. Here in this place, we call it the closet. How many people actually pray in a closet? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go, right? It's a place where it is your own. If you have kids, you got to have a place where you can just lock the door, right? Because any time, isn't it guaranteed, any time that you sit down and think that you have a couple minutes, you sit down, coffee, Bible's arranged, this is perfect. sit down. Wah! Something happens. Something begins to happen, right? Carla was saying this last week. The boys, they're just, man, they're all over. No, she didn't. I'm joking. I just made that up. But it's true. And even if we don't have kids, it's something, right? I sit down, I prepare a time, and then everything just starts creeping in, right? It just starts creeping in and starts to take my time. I need a place in my life, whether it's physical or if it's just a place in my car or whatever, that I can go and say, this time, this place is reserved for me and God. That may not even so much so I can tell Him what I think, but more so that He can tell me what He thinks. That I can hear Him tell me who He is. Imagine that. It's important that I hear God tell me who He is. He spends a lot of time in the Bible telling me who He is, doesn't He? I am. He says that quite a bit. Moses, what am I going to say? Who am I going to... I am has sent you. I am. John chapter 8, I am. Isaiah chapter 9, His name shall be. And then we find throughout the Bible there are His names, and His names have attributes in them, and His names have descriptions in them. It's important. Also here in this place, I hear who I am. That's the point we're making. I hear who I am. Because out here in the world, I hear a lot about who I am. And there are a lot of voices that are telling me who I am or who I need to be. Remember, I go into Best Buy. I said this the other day. I go into Best Buy. I feel fantastic. I love my TV. I love my phone. I love the stereo in my car. I love my CD collection, right? I love talking about CD collections. How many people have a CD book in your car? Yeah, so they still exist. They're out there, just like payphones. Who was it? Saturday Night Dylan. Dylan, that was so good. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. But Dylan on Saturday night gave a testimony. He said he called his brother. He said, you know one of those phones that you put a quarter in? And we're like, wait, time out. The touching testimony is important. We want to get to that. Where are you putting quarters in phones, right? Where is that happening? All right, the pay phone. But we go into Best Buy, we feel great about everything, and then we go in there and we say, oh, that's a TV. Oh, that's a stereo. Whoa, look at that. I need that. And we walk out and we say, everything in my life is inadequate, right? Everything. I need to redo everything. I watch HGTV and then I walk into my kitchen and I just say, this place has got to go. It's got to go, right? And I start thinking about things and, right, the whole, this is the way we are. And this is the way our lives can be when we are strictly limited to horizontal relationships. I walk around and I say, man, I want to be, I am not. And I find all the inadequacies about me. It's so important that I find a place where there is no other voice but God's voice. And He leads me in who He is, and then He leads me beautifully in who I am. Not in who I am to the world, but who I am to Him. And that's what I need. Also, in this place, I hear who you are. Like Tommy said, the body of Christ, the unity of God is here. Why? Because we are all sealed with the Holy Spirit. I hear who we are. And then also, I bring my requests to Him in Philippians 4:6. I'm not anxious in this place. I don't have the closet. I don't have anxiety in this place. I might go in there with anxiety, but I find a place to leave it by my worship and by my supplication. Remember we said that? That I come to God and I could come to Him and just say, I need, and like pour it out. Or I could come to Him and say, You are God. I worship Him. I find time for praise and the worship of who He is. And then I bring my request to Him. Because when I bring my request to Him in the context of who He is, it's a lot different than when I bring my request to Him in the context of who I am. When I pray in myself, then I find limitation. But when I pray in the context of God, I find that there is an unlimited thing there. Infinite. God is infinite. He is not finite. He is not limited. And He is able to do beyond what we could think. And what happens here, Philippians 4:6, we pray, but then in 4:7, the peace of God stands guard over our heart. There is a new guard in my heart. Right? Have you ever tried to walk past a guard and gotten caught? Right? In some kind of way. Pastor Chris Armin was a master at this. We lived in a place in Zambia. We lived behind this giant complex. And the shopping center there, everything is fenced off. It's a giant gate all the way around. Like imagine, you know, where Marshall's and Price Chopper is. It's like a plaza like that big with a fence all the way around it. And we were like directly on the opposite. The bus would drop us here, and directly on the opposite side was our house. We could cut through the shopping center and be home in 2 minutes, or it's like a 15-minute walk around. So there's a gate at the back for employees only. Pastor, we would always try to go by, and one day, this is before I was there, but Pastor Chris went and he made his own badge. All right? And he made a badge for the store. So he was an employee, clipped it on his shirt, he kept it and clipped it on his shirt, and it said consumer of products. That was his job title. All right? So he would go up and there would be a guard at the door and he'd be like, "Hey, how are you? You know, how you doing?" He said, "Oh, this is for employees only." He goes, "I'm a consumer of products." All right? Which is he's a shopper, right? He consumes the products of this. And the guy, oh, yes, boss, yes, boss, yes, boss. And he would let him through, right? So we would try the same thing, but then we would just run. And then also in Budapest, when I lived in Budapest, I was 14 years old. And my friend, we thought we ran the town. We thought we were like the kings of Budapest because there was public transport. And we thought it was like our, you know, personal transfer. So we would get on without a pass, without a bus ticket. And there was the ticket checkers. They would come through the bus. The doors would close. You would start moving and then they would start coming. So we would be like running through the subway cars, like trying to get ahead of them. And then we would get out the door and up the escalator before they could catch us, right? Running past the guards, right? Running past the guards. We have a new guard that is patrolling the door of our heart. When we deliver these things in prayer to God, He puts a guard over our heart. It's the peace of God. What a better guard that is than myself. Because I find limitation in myself. I find weakness in myself. It could be that time I have willpower, right? You wake up one day, you're like, "I feel fantastic. I'm not eating sugar all day." And you make it through the day, said, "Man, that was a good day." And then the next day you wake up and you put a cookie in your face first thing and you say, "It's going to be a bad day, right? We're just going for it today." Some days I don't have it, some days I do. But God has it every day. Right? There is no doubt about His ability and His willingness to guard my heart. So let's look here at Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 8. We'll read verse 8 through 14. It says, "The voice of my beloved, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall and he is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. My beloved spoke and he said to me, 'Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, and the flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with her tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and your face is comely.'" What a beautiful little song that is, a little ditty, right? Isn't that, it's so nice. "Behold, my beloved, the voice of my beloved, first of all, I hear the voice of my beloved. Behold, look, observe, he is coming, that God is approaching us." Like we said in John chapter 4, Christ is approaching the woman at the well. And in the same way, God is approaching us. He is coming to us. That he has not sat up somewhere high and expected us to approach him, but he has said, "He is coming. Behold, he is coming." God approaches us. What a humbling thought that is, that God approaches us. And He doesn't approach us with judgment. He doesn't approach us with condemnation. But He approaches us with joy. And He approaches us with anticipation. And there is something in Him that He is excited to deliver to me. And He sings over me. He's leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. Isn't that a good picture? Leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills like a young gazelle or a stag. Have you seen a deer or a gazelle run through the woods? Probably not a gazelle, right? But a deer, a stag. When you see a deer running and there's an obstacle in front of them, what do? Boing! Right over it. I mean, effortlessly leaping over obstacles. My dad and I were in the woods one day and we saw a deer running. It was a snowy day. And we saw it leap. And then we went down and we paced the distance between departure and landing. And it was something like 20 paces. It was amazing. And the way it did, it wasn't a struggle, but just fluid, boing, overcoming any obstacle. Leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. What is the difficulty that is between me and God? He overcomes it effortlessly. That He glides over the obstacles that I think are there in front of me. And He, in His approach to me, He is not limited. In His approach to me, He is not challenged. But He effortlessly, spry and youthful, overcoming the mountains and the hills, and He's coming to me with a song in His heart. This is the joy that is in the Father. This is the joy and the anticipation that He has. And if you look at it, it's talking about a bridegroom approaching his bride. That there is a marriage coming. And what is the expectation is the bridegroom there. He wouldn't let anything stand in his way to approach his bride on the wedding day. Oh, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters that day. The whole world could go down. It doesn't matter. As long as I make it to my bride, that's all. This is the way Christ approaches us. And then in verse 10, it says that my beloved spoke to me. Oh my gosh, He speaks to me. He speaks to me. Have you ever seen somebody passing by that you recognize, but you say, why would they ever recognize me? Why would they know who I am? And then they speak to you. Oh, I am somebody. They do know me. Oh, it feels good. Hopefully. Hopefully it's not like a bill collector. You know, someone coming to break your fingers. But anyway, that this approach of God, and He comes and He speaks to me, that He doesn't pass by me, but He speaks to me. We said that at Ezekiel 16:6, when He walked by us and we were in the field struggling in our own blood, He spoke to us. And He speaks to us. He says, live. Right? And just in the same way, the bridegroom approaches the bride and he sings to her and he speaks to her. And there is nothing held back in him, but he is free to express himself to her. This is how God approaches us. Rise up, my love. Rise up. He doesn't speak to me harshly. I know some guys here have been in the military, Jerry, Eric, Enrique, not for much longer. Mike is in the service. Scott was in the service. Anybody else? Pastor Mark, were you in the service? No. Anybody else? Okay. I don't want to leave anyone out. You've been spoken harshly to, I assume, in the military. Right? Hey, Blanchard, what are you doing? Hey. Right? There are times where and in our life we have been spoken harshly to, but God approaches us and He doesn't speak harshly to us, but He speaks graciously to us. Even in our sin, He came and He speaks graciously to us. When I was yet without sin, Christ what died for the ungodly. And what does that do for the ungodly? But it draws him up. Rise up, my love. Rise up, my fair one. And come away. Let's come up here. Up here. And this is what happens to us when we come into the closet and we find our place with God, that we find that He draws us up outside of ourselves and up away from all the horizontal stuff that is creeping into my life. And He calls me up to listen to His song and to listen to His description of me. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. I love that. He calls me up. He calls me to come with Him. But He doesn't, He comes down to me and then draws me up. Behold, He comes. And then He says, hey, come away, come up with me. Come with me, my love. He speaks to who I am. That when God speaks to me, He does not speak to my fault. He speaks to who I am. And my identity is that I am in Christ. How does God see me? Oh, wretched man that I am? No, God sees me washed in the blood, seated in Christ, loaded with every heavenly benefit. This is how He speaks to me, because this is how He sees me. He doesn't have to try. Remember the Pinocchio commercial? Pinocchio is the worst motivational speaker, right? You have potential, right? And the nose starts growing. God is not trying to come up with something nice to say, right? Like, I like your hair today. I don't know. I got nothing. No, but He has plenty to say about us. He does, because He sees us in Christ. And we have an advocate in Jesus Christ who is constantly reminding the Father of what He has done for us. Beautiful. Come away with me. Rise up into this identity. Rise up into this reality and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The fruitless time is gone. That we have had times in our life that are fruitless, but in our salvation, we are delivered from a fruitless past. The winter is over. The time of barrenness in the mud and the muck and the ice and the slush, whatever it is, that time is over. There is a new song in your life. There is new fruit in your life. The flower is budding. The green olives or the green figs are there. And the grapes are appearing on the vine. And there is a beautiful aroma in your life. Why? Because of the work of God in you. Because of the identity that God has given you. Because of the love that He has poured out to you. Because of the grace that He has given you so freely. This has made an impact in my life, and it has done something. And this is the reality that He wants to walk me in. Rise up, come up into this place where the winter is past. I feel like that now in February, the winter is past. But come up here, the winter is over, the song of the turtle dove is heard again. The King James says the song of the turtle, and that always perplexed me, because I've never heard a turtle sing beautifully. But the turtle, the song of the turtle dove, it's a gentle song, it's beautiful, it's calming, and this is where we are with God. That yes, down here in the horizontal world, things might be spinning and turning all over the place. Right? There's sickness this week, there's disappointment that week, the work is happening this week, and bop, 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 it piles up. And in no point does God ever say that that will not be happening. But He does say in the midst of that, you have a place to go and come away with me. Rise up, my love, my dove, my undefiled, He says in another place. Rise up at the end of verse 13. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. That He calls us to make time for Him. Can I make time for Him in my day? Can I make time to listen to Him? If I make time to listen to Him, He will draw me upward. And it might not take much time. It could take a little time. God doesn't need time in the sense of minutes. But He is asking for time in the sense of that I would give Him my will for some amount of time. And He could do a lot in 30 seconds. He could do a lot. Who knows what God could do, but He's calling me to recognize Him in it. Come away. Could there be time in my life that is not occupied with the stuff? What is the stuff? School, kids, work, deadlines, computer. How many people enjoy working on computers? Can't stand it. I'd spend time on it. One over here. Hallelujah. God bless you. I don't know. They're useful and stuff, but they could cause anxiety. I did my ordination exam. I did the whole thing on a computer halfway through, and I'm saving it as we go on a little thumb drive, the whole thing. And I don't know, in the middle of systematic theology, I pop it in and where to go? Oh, it just disappeared. Right? Okay. So we start over again. Right? In the middle of that anxiety, in the middle of that, where do I go? I go to God. And he calls me to be there. I heard recently that the average American watches 7 hours of TV a day. That's a lot of time, isn't it? And that's, if you watch TV, that's fine. I'm not, but could it be that I have in my heart saying, God, I wish I had more time for you. But then I have time in my day. What have I given that time to? Come away with me for a minute or two, for an hour or three. Come. And this is the call. By no way is he looking for me to come away and prove something to him. That's not what it is. Legalism would say that you have to come here and you have to spend this amount of time and you have to prove yourself to me. But the grace of God says, come here, I want to prove something to you. I want to prove to you my faithfulness. I want to prove to you my work. I want to prove to you my character. I want to prove to you my love for you. And I want to prove to you the ability of my grace. But that happens in time. That I have to be there to hear it. I have to be there to witness it, to experience it, to taste it. Psalm 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How can I taste and see that the Lord is good if I'm not there to eat at the table? Be there. This is what he's saying. Come away with me. That I don't have to prove to him my willpower, like we said earlier, that is fleeting. But instead, I want to be there, not to prove something to him, but to change my strength and to be renewed by him. And then he says in verse 14, O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the cliff, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the cliff, where the wind goes across the face of the cliff, and there is challenge, there is difficulty, there is not an easy way up, but in that place, come away to the secret place of the cliff. Why? So I can see your face, he says. Let me see your face. And that word means appearance. Let me see your appearance. Has your mom ever say to you, like, look at me, right? They want to see, they can look at your face and they can see exactly how you're doing, right? You can't lie to mom. The face just says it all. And what's wrong? Nothing, nothing, I'm fine. No, you're not, right? I'm going to make coffee and cookies and we're going to talk about this, right? Like, mom, I'm 35 years old, take it easy, gosh. God says to us, let me see your appearance. Let me see your face. Fellowship happens face to face. Come away with me in the secret place, in the cliff, the little cove, the little carved out in the face of the cliff. Hide there in the middle of the turmoil and let me see your appearance. And what appearance is he talking about? Well, it talks about in Philippians 3:9 that I am clothed in his righteousness. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5 says that they are clothed in whites in the righteousness of God. This is the appearance that I have before God. He says, come away, I want to see your appearance. And we say, no, I'm not doing so good. I don't look good. I don't have it together today. Right, have you ever looked in the mirror and said, how could I possibly go outside and face humanity today? God, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, come, let me see my reflection in you. I have created you for fellowship. I have put in you a place that is made for me. And there I see my reflection. I want to see my glory in you. And also I want to hear your voice. Let me hear your voice. Why? Because your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Oh man, God loves us. And he approaches us so that he can see our appearance and he can hear our voice. Isn't that a humbling reality to think that God wants to hear my voice and see my appearance? We spend so much time in fear and shame hiding from the presence of God and we say, I don't have anything to say to you, God. and I'm filthy right now. And he says, come into this place and let me tell you who you really are, a high priest Joshua. Let me change your garments. Let me renew your strength. Let me show you who you really are in me. And then I will turn you out and send you back out into that crazy world with a different identity and a different strength and a different reality. And then come back. Come back to me and find this place again. And make sure you're here and you're hearing what I am saying to you. I'm talking about God calling us. This is what He did for us. This is why He came. Christ didn't come so that we could prove ourselves to Him. He came to save us and deliver us and to prove His love to us and to prove His faithfulness to us and prove His grace to us. Let's allow Him to show it to us. We don't have to be so proud that we can't humble ourselves and be in the presence of God. Because when I say that I can't, oh, I am filthy, that's just as much pride as saying, look at me, God. Either way, I'm dressed in my own righteousness, good or bad. But He says, come in my righteousness, come and recognize what I have done, and let me see myself in you. And I don't know. I think we've all experienced this. I think we all know this reality and what is the impact that it has on my life. We see examples of it throughout the Bible. Abraham had this experience and then he faced the king of Sodom with confidence. So let's find our place here with God and allow from this place we go out and face the world. In this closet where it's just me and God and it takes some discipline. Even leave the phone outside of the room. Right? Take the watch off if it's yelling at you and telling you to do something. Leave it outside the room. Turn the computer off. Put the earplugs in. Whatever you need to do, whatever it is, and find a place, a little piece of square footage where you fellowship with God. It's holy ground, and nothing else is there. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank You for coming to us. Thank You. Behold, He comes. Skipping upon the hills and running across the mountains. Lord, thank You. Thank You that there is nothing that You will not overcome in Your pursuit of us. Lord, thank You. Draw us into this secret place. Draw us into this holy place where we hear from You and You hear from us. Lord, thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.